Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul Recipes for Living. Happy New Year to everyone, and welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio Show. My guest for this morning is the founder of Life Choice Psychology, Ken Lindner. Ken is an author, life coach, and emotion expert. He will be sharing with us tips and strategies on how to master our emotions and modify our behavior to achieve success with our New Year's resolution. Good morning, Ken. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio, and Happy New Year to you, sir.
Good morning, Johnny. Happy, healthy New Year to you and all those out there.
Fantastic. It is a pleasure to have you on the air with me this morning. Your book, Your Killer Emotions, is an excellent book for everyone to start 2014. I highly recommend it to anyone who are looking for ways to eliminate self-sabotaging behaviors. Congratulations on that book.
Oh, thank you so much, Johnny.
Wonderful. Let us start by getting to know you a little better, Ken. Please give us a quick walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment.
Sure. Well, I'm from New York City, and my dad would work 6 days a week. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, and when I was a youngster, I intuited my mom was always there, so she must love me. My dad was never there because he was working all the time in order to support us and in order to enable my mom to be a stay-at-home mom. So I intuited that he didn't love me because he wasn't there, which led me to go through some deep feelings of insecurity and feelings of hopelessness, feeling less than, and that triggered some eating binges on my part as a child. Mm-hmm. And what happened was that the eating would assuage my deep feelings of insecurity and feeling unloved. And then, very long story short, I realized one day that the way I was going to bond with my dad and get his approval was through being an athlete. And what happened was that I decided that I was going to refrain from eating all the fattening foods because I made the choice that I'd rather become an athlete, be thin, be agile, get my dad's love and approval, than experience the momentary pleasure of the food. And I wound up losing a great deal of weight and since then kept it off. And we'll discuss all of that. But the thing is that from that day on, when I was 10 or 11 years old, Johnny, I realized two things. My emotions could sabotage me because it was because my emotions were so strong because of my feelings of unlovability, rejection. They clouded my intellect because I knew I shouldn't eat all these fattening foods because I was becoming obese and all the kids would make fun of me. But emotionally, the emotions dismantled my best judgment. So I learned about the strength of our emotions and how they can sabotage us early on. But I also learned about the power of making positive life choices, constructive life choices as well. And what happened was thereafter, I did get my dad's approval and did spend time with him and bonded with him as an athlete. And then I became a very good tennis player. I played one for Harvard University and won a number of tournaments and then went to Cornell Law School. By the way, my thesis was on decision-making and making positive life choices. And then started as an attorney for the William Morris Agency in New York, then became a talent representative for them, moved out to Los Angeles, started my own company, Ken Lindner and Associates, about 25 years ago, and we represent about 250 of the most well-known broadcast journalists in the country, from Matt Lauer to Lester Holt to Mario Lopez to many people in places like Dallas, local TV, and other places. And I've written 5 books, and Your Killer Emotions is my latest book, and it's all about how to master your emotions, and have them work in sync with your intellect, what you know you want for your life, so that you can make positive life choices.
Fantastic. Sounds like you were going through several life epiphanies when you were growing up during that transition.
The key was that it was later, as I reflected on how I was able to become thin, that I realized, one, that I needed to master my emotions, because emotions could truly sabotage me. Two, I learned how important it was to identify the things that I really wanted in life. And what I really wanted in life when I was 10 years old, as I said, was to get my dad's love and approval.
Right.
Two, to get the romantic attention of this girl in class who viewed me as the fat class clown, but not as a romantic interest. And
right.
Three, I wanted to fit into the, in quotes now, skinny jeans that all my friends could wear that I could never even think about wearing. So when I found what I call my personal emotional triggers, or my pets, as I call them in your killer emotions, I found that those three things motivated me like no other to stay the course of being disciplined and foregoing the fattening food, because I found something I wanted more than the taste of the food: my dad's love, this girl's romantic attention, and to fit into the cool clothes other kids were wearing.
And then, of course, I think as you go through the process, you go through this voyage of discovery, self-discovery, and, of course, you realize that all the while you're being loved according to how they can love you.
Absolutely. And, you know, Johnny, you mentioned something that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
The quality of recognition.
Mm-hmm.
I recognized that I was engaging in a certain form of behavior, emotion-triggered eating, which was unsatisfactory to me. And one of the first steps in change is recognizing that beneficial change needs to take place. And one of the things I've learned in sports is that you've got to be objective about how you view yourself and your life. Because if you are defensive, if you make excuses, if you blame things on other people, if you keep putting things off, if you keep putting off true self-examination, you'll never identify the problem and you won't fix it. So it's really important to be open and honest with yourself. Understand that everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has setbacks. Even the most successful people lose.
Right.
But you just have to identify what went wrong, fix the problem, and move forward. And hopefully when you're faced with a similar or the same situation down the road, you'll know what you need to do, and hopefully you'll do it.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. And you mentioned an author that I followed for a while, in the sense that it really helps me during the times when I was trying to find myself, Dr. Stephen Covey, and of course with his 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And one of the things that I always hold dear to heart in terms of your circle of influence and your circle of concerns, circle of influence obviously being ourselves, and what basically you just mentioned just now is taking ownership. We have to look from within.
No question. As you said, taking ownership, it is so important. I mean, the key is that all you need to do is say, I can do something better.
Yeah.
I want to do something better. Let's figure out what it is I need to do better so that I can get the result I really want.
Fantastic. What other life experiences influenced you to create life's choice psychology?
Well, I've always studied the life choice. And, Johnny, I counsel people, I've counseled thousands upon thousands of people over the last 30 years, many of them in the professional arena. But what I've seen is that you can absolutely change the course of your life by making great, beneficial life choices. And, you know, our lives are like train tracks. You know, trains go where the tracks take them. Our lives go where our decisions life and life choices take us. our lives are a reflection of the choices that we make.
Right.
And it's so important to value the life choice. It's also important to know what it is you truly want in your life. And I talk about that in your Killer Emotions, is knowing what your goal is, knowing what your goals are, your most important goals. First of all, you can stay true to them, and you know what you're being disciplined for. You're knowing why you're delaying gratification if it's a long-term goal, and it's very important to have that end in mind. Also, I've trademarked a term which I've used for many years called career choreography. And what I mean by that is I have found that there are a set of certain logical steps anyone can take to achieve their short and long-term goals.
Mm-hmm.
But the key is you won't know what steps to take if you don't know what the end game is. So it's important to always have a top of mind. I want to stop smoking. I don't want to react in anger. I want to have better relationships with people. Don't want to go back to the bad guy, the bad girl. You need to know what it is you really want to achieve with every interaction and life choice that you have.
Very true. You talk about career choreography. To me, it's a dance of life. You've got to know where you're heading to.
No question. That's exactly right.
Once you do that, then you can move effortlessly on the dance floor in some ways, because I am a dancer, so I got to throw that in.
Sounds good. I love it.
So why did you decide to write a book about emotions? It's a fantastic book. What triggered you, in a way, let's use your word, triggered you to do this?
Right. Well, I've been thinking about writing Your Killer Emotions for many years, Johnny. I'd written a book earlier called Crunch Time, which is more about life strategy, so more about the intellectual component of life choice making.
Right.
But I realized when I saw so many people sabotage their lives because they knew what they wanted. They're very smart. They had great life strategies. And in cognitively clear moments, they could tell you exactly what they needed to do, but when they were overcome with fear, anger, feeling hopeless, feeling needy, feeling resentful, they would become enveloped or hijacked, in essence, by those emotions, and their best judgment would get dismantled, and they would just opt for a quick fix. They'd yell instead of thinking clearly. They press the send button for the email instead of going back and thinking about what they were writing and should they really send it. And what would happen was I saw all of these people who had such talent let their emotions lead them to make terrible choices. So I felt about these great life strategies, but no book out there talked about how to manage your emotions, how to use those energies that you feel when you are emotional in a positive and constructive way so that they work in sync with your intellect to lead you to make life choices which reflect your highest goals.
That's very true. What I like about your book, you mentioned about people that are intelligent, they're smart people that actually fall from grace simply because they could not have their emotions under control. Believe it or not, you don't have to be a superstar, but yet you can thrive in anything you do if you manage your emotions in such a way that you don't let it run over you. And to me, that comes back to the idea of, are you looking from the perspective of, you mentioned just now, fear or love? For me, in this case, of course, I'm talking about the unconditional love you have for someone. That does not mean that it's acceptance of someone, but just through the lens of love versus through the lens of fear, because that energy will propel you in a different direction. And you talk a lot about energy within us in your book as well.
Well, Johnny, you know, it's interesting. Well, you were talking about fear and love, and most of us think, or most of us perceive, that love is a positive emotion and fear is a negative emotion.
That's right.
And many times they are. But what Your Killer Emotions talks about is the fact that fear can be used, the energy charges that you feel when you're afraid, just like the energy charges, the wonderful energy charges you feel when you are in love or love somebody or doing good things for somebody, the way you feel that energy, you know, that energy can be channeled in different ways. For example,
right.
I know somebody who was able to use his fear of dying, of that strong fear of dying, like his father and his brother died of esophageal cancer because they were alcoholics,
right,
to get him to stop drinking.
That's
because
correct.
He thought about the consequences of his acts. He visualized the fact that his father had died, his brother had died, his mother had buried both of them, the horrible consequence of him continuing to drink. So in this case, fear was used as a positive emotion in the sense that it led somebody to do something positive. So what I say in your killer emotions is emotions per se aren't negative or positive. It's the act that they lead you to take that's either positive or negative. I mean, for example, again, love. This one's a little grayer, but we all think of love as this incredibly positive emotion. But if you show your love at the wrong time, or if you over-love somebody or smother them, which, by the way, somebody could say maybe that's also neediness, but or insecurity when you do that. But the key is that it's all about the act that you wind up taking, whether that be negative or positive. So fear, distrust, we all perceive as negative. In your killer emotions, I talk about how to channel those emotions so they lead you to take positive acts. And that's really the key to helping work in sync, knowing what you want and having your emotion, using your emotional energies to help you get there.
Right. It's beautifully done. It's beautifully said in the book, and I agree with you because the idea is the application of your emotions that counts. Fear can easily be a motivational tool for you to succeed.
Maybe one example I could give you is that Tom Brady, the quarterback for the New England Patriots, he was taken in the sixth round of the NFL draft. And I know a number of people in the sports area that told me that Tom Brady has always played, or certainly at the beginning of his career, always played angry because he felt disrespected.
Right.
So the feeling of anger, rage, being disrespected, he was able to channel those energies to propel him to be great every Sunday. So, in fact, he can prove to everyone what a mistake all of those teams made and that he is a Hall of Fame quarterback and that he is proving through his feelings of disrespect, in fact, that he is that Hall of Fame quarterback. So, again, he uses those feelings of disrespect, anger, to propel him, or, as you said, an application to propel him to do great things.
Definitely. Michael Jordan did the same thing when he was told that he could not play basketball.
Exactly.
So did
exactly.
Shaquille O'Neal, if I'm not mistaken, when they first started playing basketball by their high school coach or junior high school coach and whatnot, and they took that from a perspective of how do I apply myself, and that's what your book talks about. So please share with us the seven steps to mastering our emotions and modifying our behavior.
Well, I am going to do something with you all. I'm going to change it just for a second. I'm going to make it step one and step two. I'm going to make it step one and step 1A. So the first step is what we talked about earlier, and that is, in order to make beneficial change in your life, one, you need to be ready, and two, you need to identify that a change needs to be made. So there's got to be a moment of recognition, and we talked about that earlier. It's so important. You've got to know that and realize that some change in some form of behavior is necessary, either to get it right or to be even better than you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say step 1A is, as we talked about, you want to identify your most potent personal emotional triggers or pets.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, for example, it was getting my dad's love, that girl's attention fitting into the skinny jeans. Or for this other person that I mentioned, it was not getting esophageal cancer and therefore foregoing the alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Step 2 is being anticipatory. Anticipate that you will have to make certain future conscious life choices in the future. And I remember hearing a doctor years ago, I think it was Dr. Art Ulean on the Today Show, saying, you've got to anticipate that you're going to want to smoke or somebody's going to offer you a cigarette, and you need to know ahead of time what you are going to do when you are faced with that problem. So anticipate that somebody's going to offer you food. Anticipate that somebody's going to offer you a cigarette. Anticipate that you're going to run into that person who pushes your emotional buttons. And know what it is you want to do in that situation so you have it a top of mind.
Yeah.
3, I talk about construct your what I call visuals, and they are vehicles that will enable you to consistently make enhancing life choices. And what that basically means is a visual is a visual and a frame and visual. So you frame the situation like I framed the situation when I was young. Do I want to continue to eat the macaroni and cheese and cookies and continue to be fat and feel badly about myself, not get my dad's love, which I crave, or do I want to forgo the food, get my dad's love, get this girl's romantic attention, fit into the clothes, and then visualize the results of your good work, meaning visualize, for me, playing ball with my dad, being on a date with that girl, fitting into those skinny jeans, visualize it. Frame and visual or visual. The other thing you want to think about, and I'll call this step 4 for us, is be consequence cognizant. Always think about the consequences of your acts. If you think about the fact that if you continue to get angry with your mother or father during holidays, you'll never have a relationship with them. Neither will your children have a relationship with their grandparents. Or if you continue to smoke, will you die of cancer? Or if you continue to eat fried foods, will you have a heart attack? Think about the strongest, most heinous, most visual consequences of your acts so that they help you break your toxic scripting. So, for example, in the person I discussed earlier, Johnny, this gentleman who was an alcoholic and was could have easily died of esophageal cancer because he was having throat issues, just like his father and his brother.
Right.
He had been abused by his father, and his father used to also criticize him regularly. So anybody who criticized him, anyone, or anybody who made him feel less than, triggered his drinking. Anytime he felt badly about himself, he'd go for the bottle. And this was what we would call a toxic behavioral pattern or toxic script that he was engaging in for years. The way he was able to break that toxic script was for me to ask him what his most potent personal emotional triggers were, and what he told me was, I have a 9-year-old autistic daughter. If I die of cancer, I'm a single father. Nobody will be there to take care of her. She'll be alone in the world. I have 2 other sons. They'll be alone in the world. I have a mother who's buried her husband and a son because of esophageal cancer, both of whom were alcoholics like myself. Do I want to put my mother through that horrible experience of burying yet a third person? And when he was able to gather all of these consequences together of, one, his autistic daughter being alone in the world with nobody to take care of her, his two other sons, who are 9 or 10 and 11 years old, to be alone in the world, his mother going through her own hell of having to bury yet a third person, those consequences were so strong, or those triggers were so strong, that it got him to break the script of him always going for the bottle or for the drink whenever he felt badly about himself, because he said, I need to do better. I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want to live that consequence. Conversely, he thought about the positive consequences of not drinking, and those were he would be there for his 9-year-old daughter, Luann. He would be there for his two sons and their weddings and their graduations, and he would not cause his mom any further sadness. So being consequence cognizant not only can lead you to make very positive life choices, but they can break up a toxic, deeply embedded behavioral pattern. So that's step 4. Mm-hmm. Step 5 is what I talk about in your killer emotions, is a reminder list, and it's too long to go over, but it's basically a reminder list before you make your life choice. Step 6 is to make a life choice which is consistent with your goal, which is your highest goals, and your truth, which is the person you want to be and how you want to act. And step 7 is to review your life choice process, because if you've done something good, Johnny, I have learned that if you have made a life choice that is positive, you feel empowered because you feel that you can positively affect change in your life. You can make a difference with that life choice, and you've already done it. And what I found is, if you feel good about who you are, if you feel like you can make positive life choices in your life, I have found that it is like a domino effect. Mm-hmm. You feel good about yourself, you raise your self-esteem, you start to make more and more positive life choices, and you use discipline and delayed gratification because you feel that you and your life are worth making great decisions for. Conversely, if you keep making bad decisions, if you keep sabotaging yourself, you feel impotent in the sense that you feel that you can't make life choices. It's too difficult. You don't have the discipline. And if you don't feel you're worthy of making good life choices for, you won't. And so it is sort of this, as I said, domino effect. If you make great life choices, you tend to make more and more of them because you're confident that you can and you want to. If you start to, or you continue to make bad life choices, it is a horrible cycle. And we all see people who don't have confidence, who have low self-esteem, continue to make self-sabotaging life choices because they feel they're just not worth making good decisions for.
Very true. What you have just said is just fantastic. And these are the things that, in the end, we all have our upper and lower limits, so to speak, the things that we're comfortable. And then, of course, in so many ways, we live a dual life, the outer us and the inner us. And what you're talking about is we have to take a look at the inside, the things from within, what really matters to us. And in your book, you talk about key things to identify to create our goal and truth. And that's something I thought was very interesting, because in the sense that it really sort of stopped you and just say, okay, wait a minute now. What really matters, what really counts in your life? Because that is ultimately is going to be the compass, the blueprint for your success.
No question. And you know, it's easy for me to sort of identify this when it comes to careers. I ask my clients, what is it that you want in your career? And many of them will say, I want to host this show. I want to anchor this show. I want to do this or that. And then I help them, as I said, with the career choreography, as you had said, about the dancing, figure out the steps to get there. But the key is, I think we're so busy in our lives. I mean, our lives are so cluttered. We often don't take the time. And in some cases, we're too afraid because of failure or fear of failure that we don't take the time to really go out and take a walk somewhere, go to a park, go to a beach, go somewhere where the scenery is beautiful, or at least it's quiet. And you could think about what your heart of hearts really wants. What would make your heart sing, as I mentioned in the book? What would excite you? What will motivate you? What will make you wake up every day and feel great? And figure out what those goals and values are. Because if you can figure those out, just having that great feeling of, God, I love that. I want to do that. That's what, that would be wonderful. First of all, you've got a motivation to do it. You have clarity, and clarity in life is so important. And in making life choices, having cognitive clarity is so crucial. And even having your emotions and your cognitive clarity work together to help you get to where you want to go. So it's so important to know what your goal is, because then you can work from that and figure out the steps and the choices that you need to take and make to get there.
And one of the things that you talk about in your book is to break it down, short-term, long-term, and your overall goals in terms of what can I achieve immediately. And the interesting thing about what you talk about, the goals feeding on each other, like you just say, because as I accomplish something, that in itself gave me the momentum to accomplish 2, 3, 4, 5. It's a domino effect.
No question. And, you know, Johnny, the other part of that is, we are a quick fix society, man. Everything that we do, whether it's fast food, whether it's you know, shorter bits of information on TV, we want it now. Every almost, you know, you see so many commercials saying, "You want it now? Get it now." Everything's about now.
Right.
And I will tell you that I've coached so many successful people, and one thing that they know I have learned is that if you want to accomplish your most cherished goals, you need to be disciplined. You need to lay the groundwork. You need to delay gratification sometimes, because if we just opt for a quick fix, we let our emotions, whether it be excitement of getting something now, of doing something now, of reacting to somebody now, or our anger, lashing out at somebody now, or just reacting because I want to do something. When we take those or make those quick fix life choices and take those actions, oftentimes they are inconsistent and counter to the things we really want in the long term, and they throw us off the course that we need to take to accomplish our most treasured goals. So it's really important to know what your long-term goals are and stay true to them, and be careful in this quick fix society that we don't get thrown off our course by opting for things that make us feel good for the moment but aren't good for us in the long term.
Very true. What is the greatest challenge in controlling our toxic emotional triggers?
Well, I think the greatest challenge is, once again, the quick fix. And that is not making a life choice when we are enveloped by potentially toxic emotions. And I say potentially toxic emotions because emotions aren't toxic unless they lead us to make a bad choice and make a destructive act in some way. You can feel angry, but if you keep it in check, I mean, anger isn't a good isn't healthy to begin with, but at least if you can just keep it in check, walk away, think about what it is you really want to accomplish. And as we said earlier, don't press the send button until you really know what you want to say and what you want to accomplish. So to answer your question, you never want to make a life choice when you are enveloped with emotions that could lead you to make a self-sabotaging life choice. And you want to always make sure that you know what you want to accomplish with each interaction and or life choice that you make, and then act consistently with that thought. And don't let your emotions veer you off the path.
You are teaching people to have sort of a emotional grounding before you react.
Yes.
The thing that I got in reading your book as well as in hearing you talk, emotions is good. To have emotions is very, very important because that's what we are. We're human beings and we're connecting to each other and so forth, and it's a matter of knowing how to manage these emotions to our strength side rather than to the weakness side. And I know in the old days when growing up, I'm sure you've been exposed to this. For example, for men, control your emotions. Men don't cry. Don't express yourself. Those kind of things. And I think that's the wrong way of looking at it. I think you have to let it roll and go with it. The greater understanding you have about your personal emotions, the more powerful you can be. And I'm talking about not necessarily from a physical standpoint of view, but it's a mental, emotional link that you can have within yourself that actually makes you far more powerful and stronger person.
You've hit the nail on the head. We all have emotions. We shouldn't repress our emotions. What your killer emotions talks about is using those energies, using those emotions to help you make great life choices. I mean, as I said, Tom Brady's anger or resentment, somebody's passion for something, somebody's love of something, somebody's fear of something can all lead to greatness and to very positive life choices. So, yes, we have emotions. That's a part of who we are. What your killer emotions talks about is, yes, acknowledging that we have these emotions, potentially toxic, potentially positive, but using both of those kinds of emotions to lead us, to channel those energies to make great life choices.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. How do we apply the 7 steps in our daily life so that we have some sort of a framework? It's a lifestyle change, basically. That's what it is.
Yes, it's a lifestyle change. And, I mean, for example, I can give you, well, I did about the, bit about the weight, but let me give you more of a business situation.
Sure.
And I'm not going to go through all the steps, but I will explain how your killer emotions helped me in a situation.
Mm-hmm.
I was negotiating a deal for my agency to join. I have an agency that represents newscasters and program hosts, but we don't get them commercials. We don't get them internet deals for the most part. We don't get the motion picture deals, but major theatrical agencies do that. And I was negotiating a deal for my agency to have a relationship with a major theatrical agency years ago. And that would have been beneficial for us because it would have given our clients the ability to do many other things besides broadcasting. So it would have given our clients additional revenue streams. It would have given us an additional revenue stream. It would have helped us serve our clients a great deal better because they could, we could bring them many more opportunities. And it served the major theatrical agency in a very positive way because we would have made their broadcasting deals for them, for their clients, and given them something they didn't have. So it, on paper, it was a very good marriage. and we were negotiating this deal. And then at the last moment, after we had negotiated every point, there was an executive there that appeared to have pulled out and changed a provision that was very important to us, and it happened just at the last moment. And I saw it, and I hit the roof because it was very important, and it was very beneficial to a couple of our agents. And it would turn out to be, if I left it in, very detrimental to them, and I couldn't do that to them. And I was upset that when I asked this executive, how could that happen, he brazenly said, my recollection was basically, you know, had to change it, sorry. And I felt that was incredibly bad faith. And I must tell you, I was angry. I was fuming. This was a negotiation that went on for a couple of months. And we were basically ready to get married. And then he just changed it.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, I wanted to tell him exactly what I thought of him. Because I had heard that he was not the most honorable individual in the past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping that was not the case. So, but instead of telling him what I thought, I remembered your killer emotions, and I said, I'm going to step away. I am not going to let him basically make me ruin this deal. Because I thought about what my goal was. My goal was I wanted to do these great things for my clients. I wanted to have all of these relationships to help them, and it would help us sign more clients because we could offer the services, these increased services, and it would be an increased revenue stream. So it was such a win-win for my company.
Right.
I stepped away. I remembered to never act in anger, never press the send button. So I decided to just step away. I said I would call him back in a day or so, which I did. I went back. I calmed down. I thought about what I really wanted out of this interaction, which was I wanted to get this deal done, but under terms that I could live with and my staff could live with. So I decided to figure out a way to work with what he gave me, but tweak it just enough so that we could both live with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I did. I went back to him, and he agreed to it after we spoke for a while. And by the way, I went there and had a personal conversation with him.
Mm-hmm.
I did it in a way which brought him to me, not made him feel defensive.
Right.
Which I would have if I told him what I had really thought of him and how he had acted. And we wound up making the deal, Johnny, and it turned out to be so beneficial for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked back, and I said, I was so happy with myself that I actually followed, you know, the steps of your killer emotions of don't react in anger. Think about the consequences of acting in anger, which was losing the deal and all that we would have lost for my clients and for our company and all the things I talked about. I was very happy with myself, and it empowered me to continue to act that way whenever somebody would trigger either my anger or my distrust, to step back, think about it, think about where they were coming from. Think about maybe I wasn't understanding where they were coming from. I always believe that communication brings people together. With communication comes knowledge, understanding, respect. Could even you can get sympathy, empathy, compassion. So again, sitting down and talking with him, I listened to where he was coming from. I tried to understand it, and to sitting down with him in person, because I didn't react in anger, I just wanted to communicate with him in a positive way, we wound up establishing a much better relationship, and I think mastering my emotions, or as you had said earlier in our conversation, mm-hmm. Johnny, I think I acted in an emotionally intelligent way.
Right.
And
right.
Everybody won because of that.
Right. Hearing what you just said gave me the picture also. Like you mentioned earlier, you played tennis. So are you going to react to the ball and just get the ball over the net in this case? Or are you placing the ball each time when you hit the ball?
Being strategic is what you're saying.
That's right. It's amazing because what happens is that when we look at each step that before we take from a standpoint of we are acting versus reacting, the dynamics change.
100%. And, you know, it's interesting. Let's take your analogy a little bit further. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, if we're just worried about placing the ball in the court, mm-hmm. you know, it's we're sort of acting in some ways out of fear because we're
right.
afraid we won't keep the ball in.
Yeah.
But if we're not dealing with fear, and we could take it a step further, the next step from placing the ball in the court is mm-hmm. being strategic and placing it in a place that will be advantageous for us.
Right.
And
right.
if we can control our emotions, mm-hmm. We can be far more strategic.
That's correct.
Our intellect is ruling.
Right. It's about getting the ball over the net, of course, no question about it, but at the same time, when you do that, when I say this, because like say, oh my God, I just need to get the ball over the net here. That's right. But many a times you'll find that you have an opportunity to get the ball over the net to set up your follow-up shot. That ball that goes over the net may not be the killer shot that you wanted, but you certainly can set it up for your next move. It's almost a game,
like
the game,
chess.
The game of chess, yeah.
No question. And that's sort of, to bring it back to our earlier conversation, that's the
yeah.
choreography of things. You
right.
set, you make one move to
yeah.
possibly capitalize later on with another move.
Right, right. And that brings me to this question. Why is it important for us to do periodic reviews of our reminder list? Because you talk a lot, actually, about reminder lists in your book.
Well, first of all, I always believe that it's important to continue to assimilate data throughout your life. And what I mean by that is think about what you've done right, what you've done wrong, how are you doing. Don't be defensive if you feel you could do things better. The key is, you know, we want to live a conscious life, Johnny. We do. We want to be conscious. We want to be mindful. We want to know what's going on with us. Sort of like a heart monitor. You know, if a heart monitor in a hospital tells us how our heart's doing from moment to moment, and if there's a problem, maybe a nurse or a doctor comes in and helps the patient. In our case, we want to continue to sort of assimilate. Did I make a good decision here? Was I sensitive here? Was I smart here? Was I strategic here? Or did I let my emotions rule and I made a poor decision? Or was I just not thinking? To me, without belaboring this, you want to be as conscious as you can about the things that you do because you continue to improve every day. We all want to grow, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you grow is by monitoring how you're doing. The things you do right, you want to continue and maybe even do better. And the things you didn't do as well, you want to improve upon. So one, it's always important, I think, to review how you're doing, what you're doing every day. So be conscious and be positive, be constructive. And there is this list, a review list in the book, which just sort of makes sure that if you have the time before you make an important life choice, you go over this list, which was, you know, a list of things that I talk about in the book, just to remind you to make sure you're thinking about the seven steps
mm-hmm.
before you make an important life choice, because life choices are so important. They are. And you could begin to lift your life today by starting to make more positive life choices. And as we said mm-hmm. earlier, if you start to make great life choices, it develops confidence, it empowers you, it engenders high self-esteem. All of them will lead you to make even more good life choices because you feel you can and you're worth it.
Definitely. And it's all about patience. That's what it's all about.
Patience. Absolutely. No question. And again, we lack patience in our society, again, with the quick fix. Mm-hmm. We have to be careful of the quick fix. Greatness isn't achieved overnight. And you always hear about mm-hmm. the athletes. The best athletes are in before everybody else, and they leave later than everybody else. You heard that about Michael Jordan, about Kobe Bryant.
Right, right.
You hear that about the great people. There must be a reason, because no matter how talented you are, you still have to be disciplined and work.
Mm-hmm.
Got to do both.
True. Very true. What three things can someone do to strengthen their commitment to their New Year's resolution?
Wow, that's a good question. I think certainly one is to think about what it is you really want in the new year. What's your goal? You know, I want to be kinder to people. I want to be better at my job. I want to have a closer relationship with my wife and children. Whatever those things are, if you know what it is that really will make your heart sing, that's key. Two, you want to think about the steps to help you get there. What do you have to do to accomplish those results? I mean, it's great to know what you want, but then you have to figure out the choreography, the roadmap, the blueprint to get there. And I would think the third thing is maybe always be consequence cognizant. Again, think about the consequences of your acts before you make them. Because if you think about how this could turn out or what you will get from this, it may stop you from making a really bad life choice, or it may motivate you to stay the course, to be disciplined, to achieve something really worthwhile. So I would say those three things.
Fantastic. Where can someone go to buy your book, get more information about you, and keep up with your latest happenings?
Well, it's www.yourkilleremotions.com is the website, and there are many, many articles there, New Year's articles, all sorts of articles. And you can get Your Killer Emotions, the 7 steps to mastering the toxic emotions, urges, and impulses that sabotage you. At BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, and at bookstores as well. But it's quite easy to just get them online.
Fantastic. By the way, your book in itself, they are broken down in several parts, and within the book, it's sort of a nice workbook. Actually, it works people through and kind of help them step by step on how to really construct and be really effective. And that's what I like about your book.
Oh, thank you so much, Johnny. Well, it is a labor of love, and as I said earlier, I counsel so many people that know what it is they want and know what it is they should do. The problem is they were sabotaged by their emotions. They didn't use their emotions to help them get to where they needed to go.
Right.
So I felt I needed to write this book because if I could help them master their emotions, it would be a game changer for them.
Right. It's not a quick fix. It is a marathon, but the quick fix is making that paradigm shift. Hey, I want to do this, and then commit to it, and then start walking, or in this case, start working.
yes, absolutely.
Wonderful. How has writing this book impacted you personally?
Well, I think it's, first of all, it's allowed me to help a great, great, great many people. It's allowed me to be on your show. So, first of all, that's an honor and a privilege. And it's allowed me to reach a lot of people. I really think this book is necessary because, as I said, there are many, many books out there and many, many teachers out there that talk about what you should know, what you should do. But as I said, they don't deal with mastering the emotions, and it's so important. The intellect and the emotions can go hand in hand, or they can work against each other. So I think I've helped a great many people, and that makes me incredibly happy. It's also helped me evolve because I wouldn't have written the book if I didn't think I needed to do some work in this area as well, because I felt it resonated with me. So everyone has emotions. Everyone deals with their emotions and has to master them. So I felt it was something that would resonate with a lot of people, Johnny. So for all sorts of reasons, I have grown through writing this book. I hope other people have grown through my writing this book as well.
Fantastic. By the way, we're coming close to the end of the hour. Since our show is about people, family, and living life, would you like to share a recipe for living with our listeners this morning?
Yeah, I would. We all go through ups and downs, winning streaks, losing streaks, and all of that. The key is stay constructive with whatever decision you make. Think about what you really want in your life and think about how to make a decision or what that decision would be to reflect and affect that goal. And the key is value that life choice, because you could change your life starting today by making just baby life choices, little choices. Start with that. Start getting your positive reinforcement going. Start raising your self-esteem. Start raising your confidence. You can truly affect positive change in your life through the small and big life choices that you make. So make the most of those choices, truly, because they are game changers for you.
That's fantastic. That's a wonderful recipe for living. What's next for you?
Well, I'm working on a book about choreographies, and mm-hmm. I'm also working on more emotional mastery mm-hmm. material. The emotion mastery lifestyle, as I call it, has resonated with so many people, and that I'm continuing to do more and more work in that area, Johnny, because people are asking me to do so, and it's a pleasure to take it a step further and a step further and make it applicable to specific areas for people to help them to grow and master their emotions.
Fantastic. Kent, thank you for spending the hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio, and also for sharing the great recipe for living. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be journalist and author Anne Ma. Anne will be taking us on a tour of French food as she chronicles her year-long food exploits in France, savoring one of the world's greatest cuisines. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to fmmktalkradio.com. Thank you for listening and have a blessed week. Kent, it has been a pleasure. Thank you again and have a blessed day.
Thank you, Johnny. Have a blessed day as well.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.